From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. U.S. Postmaster General Louis DeJoy, known for his allegiance to former President Donald Trump, faced a House Oversight Committee hearing this week where he said he intended to remain in his position until kicked out. He told lawmakers, "Get used to me." But President Joe Biden appears to be laying the groundwork to oust DeJoy, appointing three new governors to the Postal Service Board, Ron Strauman, Anton Hajar, and Amber McReynolds, to fill vacancies. The board, if those appointees are confirmed by the Senate, could then move to remove DeJoy, who has faced criticism for his politicization of the Postal Service last year when he, among other things, dismantled bulk mail sorting machines ahead of a pandemic-era election. My guest is Monique Morrissey, economist at the Economic Policy Institute, where she's been analyzing the Postal Service. Her latest pieces for EPI are entitled "Congress Should Think Big About the Postal Service's Future" and "The War Against the Postal Service." Welcome to the program, Monique.
Thank you for having me, Sonali.
So before, you know, there's a lot of issues around the Postal Service. There's long-term issues, there's short-term problems. Let's talk first about Louis DeJoy, who seems to be the more short-term problem. Why can't President Biden simply replace Louis DeJoy? After all, didn't Trump put him in place? Didn't he appoint him? Does Biden have to wait until DeJoy resigns or is removed by the board?
Actually, technically, it's not a political appointment, and it's meant to be shielded from political machinations, although it isn't really effectively so. Trump appointed members of the board who then hired DeJoy, who for sure was handpicked by the Trump administration. I mean, he's very close to Trump. He was the chair of his fundraising committee for his inaugural. He's a big Republican fundraiser. But he really technically was hired by the board. That said, all the board members right now were appointed by Trump, and there are some vacancies on the board. And so that gives the current President Biden the opportunity to fill those vacancies and actually get a Democratic majority on the board. But it's still going to be complicated. It's actually not as straightforward as it sounds for various reasons, one of which is it's not clear if the Trump appointed Democrat on the board wants to get rid of DeJoy. Another reason it's complicated is because, you know, he has a contract. He's not actually, he's at the pleasure of the board, but he might need to be fired for cause. Personally, I think there's plenty of cause, but that they're going to have to go through the motions.
Right. How do you summarize, say, if you had the power to point out why he should be fired, all of the pretty egregious issues that Louis DeJoy foisted upon the Postal Service? I just mentioned one, the dismantling of bulk mail sorting machines last year, right at a time when more and more Americans were relying on the Postal Service.
Yeah, I mean, so the main thing that happened and why he came in a blaze of scandal, well, first of all, there was some question about whether or not even when he was appointed, whether that was appropriate. He, for a while, kept stock in his former employer company stock, which was very questionable. He got rid of that, you know, under pressure. And then he immediately, now this is under dispute, but it seems like he ordered slowdowns he cut down on overtime. He denies it now, but anyhow, so there's a question there, even whether he lied about that, whether he claims it wasn't under his orders. But in any case, at a time when a lot of postal workers were sick with COVID, and as you point out, there was this huge spike in people ordering things online. So they needed more people and they had fewer. He kept back on overtime. It led to catastrophic slowdowns, especially in, you know, leading to Christmas. And it, you know, really cast doubt on the election because so many people were going to vote by mail in the election. And we can get into that later. I think that many of the things that would qualify for cause, one of which people don't talk about as much, but there was a judge who ordered him to report back about these delays ahead of the election to make sure that the ballots weren't going to be delivered on time. And he basically refused. So, I mean, I think that that's kind of egregious. He may have committed perjury when he testified last time in August. I mean, I'm not an expert on that, but clearly, you know, he has done such damage to the reputation of the Postal Service that most people would consider that's, you know, just terrible performance, which should be enough by itself.
So DeJoy at the hearing this week appeared to not own up to any problems. What do you make of some of the exchanges that took place? One that stood out to me was Missouri Representative Cori Bush, talked to him about how the Board of Governors does not reflect, forget about reflecting Americans as a whole, doesn't even reflect the Postal Service workforce. It's basically six white men. Of course, he's not the one who appoints the governors, but I thought it was important that she pointed that out. And as you mentioned, there are four vacancies, three of which Biden is trying to fill and would face Senate confirmation. And all of three Biden's appointees are either women or people of color or women of color. But what do you make of this? What were some of the things that stood out to you during the hearing?
Well, I was disappointed, frankly, on both sides. I mean, I'm mostly, of course, the Republicans just wasting the entire hearing with, sort of crazy accusations. But even the Democrats, I think it was a missed opportunity. These hearings, especially the full committee hearings, don't take place very often. And a lot of advocates were really hoping that in addition to dealing with short-term problems and putting, DeJoy's feet to the fire, that they would raise other issues that would both help the post office in the long run and also help Americans who need it badly. And chief among those is postal banking, which is a subject we can talk about in a little bit. So I think it was a missed opportunity for the Democrats. And it was the Republicans, they just went on a rampage. They basically acted as if DeJoy was a victim of a smear campaign and had been on, even by any standards, it's been a terrible year for the Postal Service, so anybody would be catching heat. And certainly somebody who was cutting costs, cutting cor you know slowdowns at a time, that unprecedented damage to the reputation of the Postal Service, under normal circumstances would be, would be get face hard questioning. And they acted as if the questioning in August had been unfair and had been unfairly impugned. Sort of the insinuations that he was doing the mail slowdowns in advance of the election on behalf of Trump. They acted shocked, shocked, shocked that this, this line of questioning could have happened, when in fact there were, it was disastrous, and the election was looming, and people were going to be voting en masse by mail. So it was a real problem. But they, so the Republicans are very good at taking umbrage and going on the offensive when they really should be on the defensive. So
Right. I
they
mean,
didn't bring
I understand that
that.
DeJoy himself admitted that the Postal Service's work just fell short of what needed to happen, at least during the holiday season last year, which was just a month after election season. He said that it fell far short of meeting our service targets, and that he called the peak season's operations a quote failure. But of course, the conservative approach to the Postal Service for years has been this idea that the Postal Service is somehow anathema, government-run entity that, is a monopoly that undermines private enterprise. And didn't DeJoy come into this position having openly talked about basically undoing the Postal Service? I mean, they want to see it dismantled.
Well, for sure, the Trump administration had task forces that focused exactly on that, on privatization, very blatantly early in his administration, and then more subtly later on. I think that the bigger danger, honestly, isn't so much overt privatization as has happened in a couple of countries where they, like Deutsche Post, where it's literally sold, highly regulated, but sold to the private sector. I think the biggest danger is that the Postal Service has already been shrunk down and outsourced. A lot of the functions have been outsourced over time under financial pressure. And so that, I think, there's and the companies that benefit are companies that do the outsourced work. And this includes DeJoy's former employer, the company that he ran, and then the company that he sold his company to, are both big, big, big Postal Service contractors. Or, so there's the overt privatization, I don't think is likely to happen anytime soon, because the Postal Service is extremely popular, and most Americans, Republican or Democrat, understand that it's a public service. I think the bigger danger is that people like DeJoy, who was actually came off seeming more reasonable than the Republicans on the committee, which I don't think that was planned, but it, was unfortunate for me, because as you said, he sort of owned up that there were problems. But what he did, which is very subtle and insidious, is he implied that the Postal Service was inefficient, needed fixing, you know, had problems. And the Postal Service has actually been very efficient, has cut costs, you know, very deep cost cutting, huge labor saving, you know, over the years. And in fact, the only financial problems it has were imposed by Congress. So he wants to act as if it's the Postal Service. You know, the mea culpa might sound grand coming from him, but it has this undertone of, yeah, we're inefficient. Yeah, we need fixing. And that's just not true.
Right. Because if he can make the case that the Postal Service is inherently problematic, it becomes then less about his leadership and more about, oh, well, we need to reconfigure the entire Postal Service. But it has been, in effect, sabotaged. Right, which we can talk about, the sort of longer term problems going all the way back to an important law that was passed in 2006. But one of the things that I understand that he did say was that he does plan to slow down first class mail and raise prices for services. What does he base this on?
Yeah, I mean, it is really unbelievable that after the scandals of the summer and ongoing scandals, I mean, people are still getting mail that's, you know, that has been warehoused in the back of post offices. So I mean, that he would, and he's now, this is a strategic plan that officially isn't out, but has leaked out. And yeah, he's talking about there's 2-day mail for local mail. He initially, what leaked is that they're going to eliminate that entirely. He claims, no, we're just going to change what counts as local mail, you know, and it's not permanent. And he says, but he's also getting rid of using airlines, you know, like FedEx actually flies a lot of U.S. mail, first class mail, and, you know, things like that. And all of this both will serve to, you know, further frustrate customers and make the Postal Service look bad. But it also might, you know, it's always done under the guise of cost cutting. But the main thing to understand, and I don't mean to become too much like an economist here, but is that the Postal Service has high fixed costs. It has to deliver 6 days a week to every household, no matter what. And, you know, adding a little bit extra mail, it brings in more revenue, but it doesn't bring in the cost if you're having to deliver every day to that house anyhow or to that business. And so when they do things that will cause customers to leave in droves, that leaves the fixed costs of delivery of the fixed costs of maintaining post offices, all of that massive overhead stays there, but the volume drops. So what seems, you know, to the average non-business person as like, oh, cost cutting, that might make sense. It'll say, you know, we need to be more efficient. It's not efficient. It's just going to lose customers and the overhead is going to stay there. So it's really dangerous. It is sabotage. Hmm.
And then there is, of course, this whole aspect around how the Postal Service is forced to prepay its pensions many, many years in advance, which was part of the 2006 law that I had mentioned. What are some of the things that the Biden administration, with slim majorities in the House and even slimmer in the Senate, can do, at least, you know, between now and 2022, to improve the Postal Service in the long term? By, you know, keeping at its heart the service that it provides to the public, by prioritizing the Postal Service's, you know, essential role in American society, what could they do?
Well, you point out this 2006 legislation, which was the last major legislation affecting the Postal Service, and it was terrible. It passed right before the Great Recession, and it would seem like it was sabotage. But some good people voted for it. I think people just didn't really fully predict exactly what was going to happen. And to be honest, the thing that was the worst in it, which, as you point out, is the rapid pre-funding of retiree health benefits that no other company, private sector or public sector employer, has to do. It was basically they required the Postal Service to fund 75 years worth of benefits in 10 years. And this was $5 billion or $6 billion a year for a decade. I mean, they couldn't pay it. It was, you know, it was unaffordable. No company could be slapped with $5 billion a year payment and survive. And at the same time, the Postal Service couldn't raise its rate above inflation. And meanwhile, mail was dropping initially because of the Great Recession. So they were really in a financial bind. And this was actually done not. I don't think overt sabotage, although some people might have foreseen that it was going to be destructive and liked it. But really, it was because Congress was trying to paper over its own deficits, and the Postal Service had been paying into all these funds, and Congress wanted to keep the money flowing, but they had determined that that the Postal Service was overpaying into these retiree funds, and so they figured out a way to keep the Postal Service money flowing, which would make the overall federal budget deficit look smaller. And at the time, members of Congress on both parties were very concerned about not looking like they were, you know, that the budget deficit was big. And the Postal Service is off budget, so money coming from the Postal Service to the federal government, it helps paper over deficits that Congress was passing. So it's a long and complicated story. And then since then, everybody's realized it's a mistake. We need to get rid of it. I think they will get rid of it. That'll go a long ways towards, you know, fixing these financial gaps that have been, you know, a thorn in the side of the Postal Service. The Postal Service has been on the defensive all those years when really none of this was their fault. And, you
but
know,
would it require legislation to undo this? If so, I wonder, you know, unless they can find a way to do it through budget reconciliation, which maybe they could, it doesn't seem legislation could pass just because Republicans.
I think it's actually expected that there will be bipartisan support for it. I mean, one of the things about the Postal Service is that it's incredibly popular across America. The employment, you know, everybody.
But that doesn't, of course, ever guarantee Republicans will back something just because it's really popular. Republican lawmakers, I should say.
That is true, but they have like funding relief for the Postal Service, you know, that has passed with strong bipartisan support, even recently. So it is a different beast. And it's also like it's indefensible. Like there's no way that somebody can go out. Republicans would prefer to just say, well, the Postal Service is a basket case and not point out why, but they can't really defend 75 years worth of, you know, retiree benefits paid in 10 years. Like it's just indefensible. So they don't really try. So I think they will get rid of that. The other thing, so you have these, the cost controls, you know, they're not allowed to, they don't have the freedom to change postage. They have to keep it with, only according to the Consumer Price Index. And that's problematic at various times. But anyhow, so that's a problem. You know, this also looks like there's that bipartisan push to allow them to raise costs a little bit, which would be good down the road, maybe not immediately, maybe not right now. But I think the bigger picture thing is that the PAEA, the Postal Accountability and Et cetera Act, it's a long name, but in 2006, it also restricted, you know, artificially said, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this. And in their business model, and chief among it's, and a lot of people have pointed out that the Postal Service has to maintain post offices, it has to deliver. And there's a lot of things that they could be doing with that capacity that would bring in revenue and serve people. And the most important of those is to provide very basic financial services to low-income and rural Americans, which would be very popular. So this is what I meant about a missed opportunity earlier. A lot of advocates are really hoping, and it has strong bipartisan support. Well, I don't know about bipartisan, but strong support. The president supports it.
So you know, let's talk about postal banking. I mean, most people might be surprised to consider that the post office could offer banking services, but it's by its nature, it already has a lot of the infrastructure, right? I mean, you can get, money orders already at the post office?
You can get money orders. You can even cash certain checks, you can cash post office checks. You can cash other money orders, I believe not even just Postal Service money orders, but other money orders. So they already provide basic services. And a lot of people, you could start small with this stuff. You could start with just check cashing. You could combine it with other things. Senator Brown, Sherrod Brown, for example, has been promoting the idea that the Federal Reserve should have something called a digital wallet. Basically, you know, why are we paying PayPal? Why are we doing, why not have, if you're allowed to have a digital account, why not have it run by the government? And this could be combined with, the post office so that people could just have access to their own money. This was a big deal last year when people got CARES Act money, and a lot of people weren't able, you know, it was slowed down for people who didn't have bank accounts. So the people who needed the money the most were the people who were, you know, weren't able to access their own money. So we're not even talking about people, you know, I mean, ideally you would be able to make small loans or things like that, but just cashing your own checks, just, you know, accessing your government benefits, this should be a no-brainer. People should not have to pay for those services, you know, excessive amounts, which is what they do now if they have to go to a payday lender or somebody like that.
Well, Monique, in the short term, is there anything that Biden can do with executive action on the Postal Service? And, you know, the legislative method is the long game, but in terms of quick policy changes, the way in which he's been at least undoing the Trump administration's executive orders? Is there something that he could do via the for the Postal Service via executive order?
You know, so now that is a really good question, and I am not sure. And I think there's also a lot of haziness, just as there's haziness about exactly what he can do with the board, there's a lot of haziness about the limits of executive order power. But I mean, we certainly want him to try. I think it's a really, really, really strong sign and a good sign that he made these appointments, or they've been leaked. So they're not official, I don't think. I don't know. I don't know what the latest is, but anyhow, that he's clearly identified three strong advocates, is, you know, going to put those on the board. And, you know, the fact that one of those, so the three advocates, one of them is somebody who quit after DeJoy was appointed, presumed to be, there were a lot of things to protest, but DeJoy's about how the Postal Service was being run and the board was running it, but chief among them was hiring DeJoy. He's coming back on the board, presumably, assuming he, you know, he's passed. And then there's a voter advocate, a vote by mail advocate who's been appointed. And then there's a union rep. I mean, somebody who was a general counsel for one of the big postal service unions. And so that's a really strong sign. These are not people who are going to, you know, mess around, I don't think. And I think the fact that he is putting a postal voting advocate on the postal board is unheard of and good. You know, I think it just reinforces that this is really important to our democracy, not just during a pandemic. It was especially important. It was critical during a pandemic and especially a hotly contested election when the voter turnout on both sides was extremely high. So it was very time, you know, the vote by mail, but it's already happening out West. They've already moved in many states. They've already pretty much moved to vote by mail. And I think that sends a very strong signal. It also sends a very strong signal, I think, to the Postmaster General that maybe his days are numbered, because, you know, the president is not messing around.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Monique, for joining us today. We'll post links to your pieces on the Postal Service from our website. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed it.
My guest has been Monique Morrissey, economist at the Economic Policy Institute, where she's been analyzing the Postal Service, among other things. We've been discussing what President Biden and Democrats could do to fix the U.S. Postal Service in light of the House Oversight Committee hearing this week at which Postmaster General Louis DeJoy spoke. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.